I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And on this show today, we're going to have some stuff that you're actually going to enjoy. I'm actually trying for content on this show. I know, shocking, but it's true. Anyway, here's the thing. See, the last couple of shows, I just kind of did off the cuff. This one, I actually went to the official blog. The blog, of course, being drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. So, we actually have a show. I'm really kind of jazzed that we actually have a show. I know some of you are going, well, Dr. Bill, you know, it's up to you whether you prepare for a show. Yes, but when I do it, I just feel so much better. Give you guys something you actually might want to watch. Just saying. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Sometimes I think those folks over at Tech Podcast are going, him again. But it's true. And we are proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes. Now, as I mentioned about the blog, drbill.tv, go there, read the articles that we're going to be talking about today. Because why not? I may not get into all the details on things that I would there at the blog. So check it out, okay? Now, also, we are sponsored this week by IPVanish. I mean, hey, we got content. They actually want to sponsor us. IPVanish. It's an IPVanish VPN sale. Dude, this is the summer sale, which is kind of good because we're going into summer. So, you know, summer sale. But anyway, it is powerful VPN protection. It is secure, and it provides cloud storage all wrapped into one. Wow. And this is a lifetime discount. Now, they don't do this very often, I can tell you. A lifetime discount, $5 a month is where it starts for privacy plans using the VPN. So, go to the URL that it shows right over there. HTTP, you can actually go to HTTPS now. I'll talk about that in a minute. HTTP, drbill.tv/VPN. Okay, let's talk about the fact that the HTTPS now works on the site. Last program, I talked about the fact that it wasn't working. I was a bit miffed. But my web host has fixed the cert. It was on their end. Again, I'm not going to mention who they are, because I really do like them. But they had problems with their cert. What are you going to do? Anyway, there's that. So now you can go there fully and freely secure, which is a good thing. All right, Windows 10 debloater PowerShell script. I mentioned last, I'm covering some of the things from the last program. I mentioned that debloater script. That article is on the blog as well, okay? And it's dated June 6th, so it's a week or two or so out of date. But that's okay, it's still good information. And I encourage you to check it out. Now, new articles, actually, from today, freshly blogged for you. This one is about Why Linux purists hate Snap. Snap is Ubuntu Linux's attempt at a unified standard app store kind of thing, okay? And they created a process called Snapd for the Snap daemon. I know back in the old days they called them demons in Unix, but we call them daemons today. D-A-E, daemon. Mainly because I don't want to give any credit to demons or the devil. Okay? Anyway, so the Snapd process runs on your Ubuntu box, and then you can go to the App Store, okay, and you can install applications from there. Now, a lot of Linux purists don't like Snap at all, because there's a lot of reasons, okay? But their intention was good. Their intention was to establish a standard Linux app store for Ubuntu, but in doing so, the apps install into like little shielded areas of their own, secure containers under Snap, and they're mounted onto a SquashFS virtual file system. So it kind of means they're running virtually to a certain extent within Linux. And that means they're going to run a little bit slower than they would if they were installed natively, shall we say. The thing that I find frustrating about it, mainly, is that when you install a Snap app, the files get put in a Snap directory, which I know is part of keeping it all separate, but it means that the application is not where you would think it was if you wanted to go find the config file and play with it. And that's really kind of the point. Linux users tend to be like, they like to tinker around. You know engineers, they love to change things. And so you want to be able to go where you believe the program is installed. And when it's not, you go, wait a minute. Oh, that's a Snap application. Okay, well, there you go. And then you got to go find it there. So, it's a little frustrating for those of us that like to tinker. Okay, then there's the fact that it's slower. Some people don't like that slowness. They don't think it's enough of a trade-off for the ease of installation of a Snap app. Just let me install it myself. Kind of thing, you know? So, a lot of people don't like Snap. All right, keep that in mind because there will be a test later. No, it's not that there will be a test later. It's that it will come up later in something else we're going to be talking about. Now, next item. Next item is a Starlink internet update. Boy, that sounds impressive, doesn't it? A Starlink internet update. Well, for those of you that don't know, Elon Musk created a new company called Starlink. And the idea is to provide internet from space. Yes. And it is rolling out that program. Well, at least the infrastructure for it. There are 538 operational satellites in the sky above us right now, providing, or at least capable of providing, internet connectivity from orbit. Low orbit to reduce latency, but orbit. So, in a 300-mile range. Most satellites are in the 24,000-mile range. So it's much closer, okay? So that's to shorten the latency. Okay, now, here's the thing. 238 of those satellites, of the 538, went up last week. Dude. And 60 more will be added next week. So they're cranking. They are cranking out the satellites. Okay, now here's the thing. They filed some regulatory information. They've been a little close-mouthed on what kind of performance you could get out of the Starlink internet system. But they filed some regulatory information that indicates that the service will provide 100 meg down speed, okay, like downloading, and 40 meg up for your internet connection. And the latency is expected to be less than 30 milliseconds, which is, you know, you're not going to break any records with that, and you're certainly not going to necessarily get a super response for playing your games, but it ain't bad. I mean, there's some local area networks that 30 milliseconds is about what they are, and we're talking from space. That's pretty good. So anyway, it is also not going to be something that's going to work well in dense population areas like cities. It's really more for people out in the boonies, out in the boondocks. In the boondocks. Anyway, almost went into sitting by the dock of the bay for some reason. That's not even the boondocks. It's the bay. But anyway, what are you going to do? That song is now playing in my head. Anyway, the point is, it's not for dense population areas where there would be standard internet services anyway. This is for people that are out there, you know, on the top of a mountain somewhere in a log cabin, and they want internet connectivity. So they chop down some trees to get a good shot of the sky, and they point their little dish up, and they get Starlink internet. Cool. Anyway, I'm excited about it anyway, because it's cool and it's modern and it's visionary. And, you know, the booties are cool. They need our internet too. So, they even have a sign-up list for early adopters to go ahead and sign up so they can check your address and make sure everything works. Because as you can see from the picture here, the satellites are going to be like a web around the planet. And they're going to cover certain areas initially. And then it's going to get a little denser and denser and denser as they get up tens of thousands of these satellites. Which is a lot. And then they're going to have better coverage. So the sign-up list, I don't have a link to the sign-up list, but it is available. Google it, as they say. Or duck-duck-go it. If you don't want to use the evil empire of Google. Yes, the other computer curmudgeon is going, you tell him, Dr. Bill, that's right. Hey, I'm with you, dude. Finally. Took me a while, but I'm with you. Okay? So, Linux Mint 20 is going to be coming out. The beta version is already out, so we're not far from the real release. But when they do release it, it will be fully de-snapped. They use Ubuntu Linux as the basis to build it, and Snap is part of Ubuntu, but they're stripping it all out because they have so many people, like I said earlier, that don't like Snap. The customers just don't want it, and so they're ripping it out, which is cool. I mean, it's cool that Linux Mint is being responsive to their users. I like that, you know? So anyway, now, I have instructions in the blog, drbill.tv blog, on how to de-snap your very own installation should you not be using Linux Mint 20 yet. Okay? You can de-snap yourself. And there's instructions on how to do that. Now, speaking of Ubuntu, which of course we were briefly, Ubuntu 20.04 came out back in April. 23rd of April, in fact. And when it was released, it became the new LTS version. 20.04 LTS version. That is long-term support. So given that it was long-term support, I went ahead and upgraded my servers over there in the rack to the new version of Ubuntu Server. All right, so one was at 18. And two of them were at 19. And I upgraded them all. And it went without a hitch. I'm happy to report. I didn't have to spend all night you know, trying to get all the little things tweaked that I needed to tweak. It just worked, which I like. I like that. I like to be able to do it and go to bed and not be up all night. Now, what are some of the new features, you might ask? Well, not all of them apply to my server versions because they are GUI related. But here's the kind of the high spots. Faster boot times, always good. There's some GUI improvements. There's an easier method to go to a dark mode in the GUI, which is basically just you flip a button or a switch and there it is. It's fully snapped. Now, this is the opposite of Linux Mint, which de-snapped themselves. They have fully snapped themselves because it's their software center. So they have that in there with 6,000 applications in the Snapcraft Linux App Store within Ubuntu. It also uses the Linux 5.4 kernel version, which is cool. It includes secure boot to protect against low-level attacks and rootkits, which is really cool. It uses or has available WireGuard, a new simplified VPN built-in with modern cryptography defaults. So you're not using, you know, old lower-grade settings. And here's a disappointing point. You still can't drop files from the file manager to the desktop. Oh, well. You know, people from Windows world, they're used to that. But you can't do it in Ubuntu yet. Who knows? Maybe down the road. Fred! Hi there. We do have a Geek Software of the Week. That drum roll that Fred played for us is the Geek Software of the Week drum roll. And the reason is because we have a good'un for you. This is PC Equalizer. Now, you probably have taken note of the fact that I have a nice new Shure SM7B. I pointed that out, I think, probably last time. I'm not sure. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But it's just lovely. I really like it. And it's my squeaky thing again, because it squeaks when I move it. But that's okay. The SM7B. So I wanted to play and tweak the settings of it in terms of the audio quality. And so I wanted a PC equalizer. Well, there is one. Took me a while to find it. But it is free. Free. Which I like. And open source. Which I like. So basically, you've got two things. You've got the PC Equalizer APO software that you install on Windows. And if you wanted to just leave it there and run it that way, you could use your command line and do it. But, you know, people don't want to use command lines to set up equalizers. They want to move, you know, things and they want to tweak it, you know, within a graphical interface. So somebody has written a graphical interface for PC Equalizer. So I basically, it's two Geek Softwares of the Week in one, if you really want to think of it that way. But it takes both of them together to get the real application. Okay? And then you can do many things with your audio. So if you've been looking for something like that, like I did, you've got it easy. I've already done all the hard work and found it for you. So, there you go. But that is worth the price of admission right there. And you didn't even have to pay anything to watch this video. Dude. Now, however, if you want to be a patron of this show, I would encourage you to go to patreon.com/Dr. Bill. And as I've said before, don't slash Dr. Bill. No, go to patreon.com with the slash symbol Dr. Bill and become a patron of this program. Send me some bucks. Because if you do, see, it's a mutually beneficial thing. Because if you do, then I get some tech that I can review and so forth. And you might say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you're a big-time YouTuber. Don't they send you that stuff for free? No. I'm not a big-time YouTuber. None of the vendors care anything about me at all. And they don't send me nothing. So I got to go buy it. Like this SM7B, I paid full price. Dude. It's not like I'm Bandrew with podcastage where they just send him one. Oh yeah, Bandrew, by the way, here's a $3,500 microphone. Check it out. And you can keep it. Man. Wouldn't I like to be able to get that? But I like my SM7B. It's $399. Dude. But it sounds so good. And it rejects all the noise in this room. I've got a fan running over there. I've got multiple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 servers in the rack over there. And they're all going, making all kinds of noise. But, you see, the SM7B rejects all that external, extraneous noise. Which I'm just giddy about. I don't have to sound treat this room. I mean, it'd be nice if I could, but I don't need to. Because I've got the SM7B. And it makes me sound so good. And so professional. Which, of course, I'm not. But anyway, there you go. So I hope you enjoyed this particular edition of the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon Show. And if you did, become a patron. It really would help. Particularly for paying for things like this microphone. Please. I know I've already bought it. But help. Okay? Just saying. All right. That'll do it for this show. Tell you what. Think about it. Just think about becoming a patron, okay? I mean, come on. Couldn't hurt. All right. The doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.